The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It is Tuesday! Time for a brand new week. And we're going to get started with a little bit of the funny. Today, we turn things over for a few minutes to the parody project, Don Caron and Company. Let's keep our fingers crossed that the video works. Here we go.
Ow! Yo. Congress, you've got to let us know. Should he stay or should he go? If you say his time has come, it sets a needed rule of thumb. It's up to you, the yes or no. What? Should he stay or should he go? Perhaps you fear you might displease, but hey, there ain't no guarantees. One day it's dark, the next it's black. So we just want him off our back. 'Cause we've sunk to a new low. Turned it into a shit show. The tumor's only gonna grow now. So will he stay or will he go now? If he goes, there will be trouble. And if he stays, it will be double. So come on and let us know. This indecision's bugging me. Which way is it gonna be? It all depends on your decree. You took an oath for your degree. So come on and let us know. Can you kill this TV show? Should he stay or should he go now? Voting yay or voting no now? If he goes, there will be trouble. And if he stays, it will be double. Which direction will we go? Will it be giddy up or woe? Should he stay or should he go now?
Project is where that one came from. The guy's name is Don Caron, and apparently he does all the parts. Good stuff. A parody there of The Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Asking about the impeachment of Donald Trump, and we say, go! Get the fuck out of here already! Oh my God, the doter did a little press gaggle on the lawn again today. I'm not going to play you any audio of it. I don't think, anyway. I really don't think I pulled anything. Listen to this from Ross Story. They watched it, so we didn't have to. And they pulled out the five craziest moments of his rage-filled rant on the White House South Lawn. First, he had the gall. Look, I'm not, you know. Hi, I'm Nicole Sandler, by the way. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here today. I am not a big Joe Biden fan. I think Joe Biden should, look, he didn't go to the thing in Iowa over the weekend because it was his granddaughter's high school graduation and it was his daughter's birthday. And he said that family comes first. Good, Joe. Your family should go first. Go home and be with them. Stop this ridiculous, quixotic quest to be president. We don't want you. You will not win. You would ensure another term of Donald Trump. Go home. And Nancy Pelosi, you need to go home too, and we'll get to that in a little while. Oh, my God. Nancy Pelosi was interviewed by CNN's Manu Raju this morning at the Pete Peterson Foundation Economic Summit. Apparently, it's a thing that happens every year. In case you do not remember who Pete Peterson is, I'm going to remind you because, frankly, I'm stunned that this little bit of trivia, that this news item has not gotten any more traction, like on Twitter, where I am, because I saw this video somewhere, I don't know, on one of the, you know, news aggregator sites from this morning, and my jaw dropped to the floor. In case you don't know who Pete Peterson was, he was, you know, he was one of the original billionaire class, right? He's like a Koch brothers kind of figure. But Pete Peterson, back in, I think it was 2012, started up I think his last effort to cut Social Security and Medicare under the guise of fixing the nation's debt problem. He actually helped form an organization called the Campaign to Fix the Debt. And their hashtag was Fix the Debt. This is all we heard in 2012. Fix the debt, fix the debt. This was Pete Peterson's group. And what they were pushing was austerity measures to fix the debt, to cut the debt and the deficit. And specifically, the way to do it was to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's what Fix the Debt was about. Here, let me read to you from the Center for Media and Democracy did a whole big thing about Pete Peterson. I promise you, I will remember to do it today. I will link to this sourcewatch.org page, a wiki page on Pete Peterson. You should know who this guy was. He is evil. And it says here, Fix the debt leaders know that nothing short of a massive effort will be needed to convince members of Congress to impose fiscal austerity in the midst of an economic downturn. Not only has this failed in European countries where it has been tried, but poll after poll showed that the American public specifically rejected the Fix the Debt agenda in the 2012 elections and want jobs to be the nation's priority. There's a whole bunch of other stuff about this. This was, Erskine Bowles was part of this group. Yes, he wanted to privatize Social Security. Bad actor here. Pete Peterson was evil. If you are in favor, if you're say a Bernie Sanders supporter, or not even a supporter, but you believe in his idea and Elizabeth Warren's campaign pledges to strengthen Social Security and Medicare, not to cut them. That's what Pete Peterson was all about. Okay, I needed to tell you that to set this up. So Manu Raju today is interviewing Nancy Pelosi at the Peterson Foundation's Economic Summit, an event they hold every year. Now, I just want to share with you, it's a 2-minute clip. Manu Raju, first of all, Nancy Pelosi was very perturbed with Manu Raju of CNN because he kept asking questions about Donald Trump. She didn't want to talk about Trump. And she has kind of a pissy attitude. So anyway, they're coming off of that, and that's where they're at when they get to this point.
Do you think the president been invited to talk about the president? I would have.
But do you think the president deserves any credit?
Work to do at home.
But do you think the president deserves credit?
No, everybody knows that those issues were if they were agreed to, they were agreed to long before the president made the announcement, A. But they were designed to take your attention away from the Mueller report. Look at the timing.
This I agree.
All happened a while back. And even now, okay. the foreign minister of Mexico is saying that's not really the way the president describes it, is not really the way what we have agreed to. But the fact is that I come here each year very complimented to have the invitation of the Peterson family. Pete Peterson, to me, was a national hero. I loved him very much.
What?
He was the
he loved
personification
him very much.
Of the American dream, Greek-American family rising to the heights, the Mount Olympus of the
what?
Financial community in our country, always sensitive to the needs of working people, always teaching us that the increase in the national debt was a tax on our children and that we had to hold it in check and be creative in how we did it. And he always said to me, Nancy, keep your eye on the tax expenditures in the budget. So
oh my
I feel
God.
Very honored always to be invited to this.
I want to ask you a question about the budget and what.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So she feels so honored to be there at the Pete Peterson Foundation's economic summit every year because she loves Pete Peterson because he is an American, a national hero. Are you fucking kidding me? He belongs on Mount Olympus? Hold on, I'm going to read you the quote again because I honestly cannot believe what I heard. Here's the quote. Again, quote, this is Nancy Pelosi speaking today. Quote, I come here each year very complimented to have the invitation of the Peterson family. Pete Peterson to me was a national hero. I loved him very much. He was the personification of the American dream, Greek-American family, rising to the heights of the Mount Olympus of the financial community in our country. What the fuck? Always sensitive to the needs of working people. Bullshit. Always teaching us that the increase in the national debt was a tax on our children and that we had to hold it in check and be creative in how we did it. Nancy Pelosi, you're taking advice from Richard Nixon's commerce secretary, from one of the biggest Republican austerity pushers in history, from the guy who designed the cuts to Medicare and Social Security to fix the debt. Back to the quote, he always said to me, Nancy, keep your eye on tax expenditures in the budget. So I feel very honored always to be invited to this. Nancy Pelosi, go home. I have another song for you.
Fuck you very, very much.
I'm just blown away. And so I tweeted that out this morning thinking this is going to just go viral. And it's like crickets. Seriously, crickets. Let me look on Twitter and see. No, nobody's retweeting it. And I tweeted the video of it. I'm blown away. People who don't want Donald Trump back in office, start paying attention. Because we're going to have that fucker in office again. Especially if Joe Biden is the nominee. I'm apoplectic over this, and I want to know where's the outrage. I'm looking on Twitter. I've got over 18,000 followers on Twitter. I'm not up in the stratosphere, but my God, why isn't this going viral? This happened this morning. This should everybody should know about this. I'm flummoxed. I just cannot believe it. Then again, I can believe it, but I can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it just goes, it goes along with the territory. Because yesterday, and here we'll get into what's news, and yeah, I'll do it live. Fuck it! Because I'm pissed. So yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee held its first hearing on the Mueller report. Unfortunately, they had to do it without Robert Mueller. Seriously. Because Robert Mueller, although we paid him a lot of money to be the special counsel and to oversee the investigation into Donald Trump and Russian interference in the 2016 elections, Robert Mueller doesn't want to make it political. Too bad. It's too late. You took the job. This comes with the job, testifying about what's in the damn report. Get before the American people and finish your job, Mueller. Now, so they kick off what's supposed to be a series of hearings on the Mueller report designed so the American people will finally know what's in the thing, because the fucking American people don't read. Read the goddamn report. It's right here. If you don't read like Donald Trump, you can get it for free on Audible. You get a free Audible account, you download the book for free, and listen to it. But if you don't know what's in there, if you don't know that the Mueller investigative team found that Donald Trump did commit obstruction of justice, did collude with foreign powers, then you're not doing your job as an informed citizen. I thank you for listening. If you're listening, I know, I'm not yelling at you guys, because if you're listening here, you're obviously informed. This is for those other people who don't listen, who would rather watch American Idol or some other shit on TV instead of knowing what the hell's going on. You know, some people said, maybe it's just going to take us hitting rock bottom. Maybe it's going to take us having somebody as just heinous as Donald Trump as president for people to finally say, oh, my God, this has gotten really bad. We need to get up and stand up and fix things. This is the most apathetic electorate probably in the world. And my fellow progressives, come on. We should be taking to the streets. So they have this hearing, this sham hearing, and instead of Robert Mueller or what's his name, the White House counsel, Don McGahn, who won't testify, even though he no longer works for the government, he no longer works for the White House, he's not the White House counsel anymore, but Donald Trump told him no. Donald Trump is telling people, Hope Hicks, everybody else who got a subpoena, to ignore the subpoenas. Start throwing these fucking people in jail. Instead, the Democrats have a toothless hearing yesterday with their star witness being former White House counsel under Richard Nixon, John Dean. Now, I get it. John Dean's 1973 testimony ultimately led to the resignation of Nixon. And yesterday, Dean compared Trump's behavior to Nixon's and also said the report gave Congress a roadmap to impeachment. And he was fine. He was fine. But that's not going to move the needle. And you know, not one cable news channel carried the damn thing. No, I think I heard C-SPAN 3 carried it. Well, we have DirecTV. We pay way too much money for it. But hey, it's my job. And So the only way I could have seen it was perhaps if C-SPAN 3 was carrying it online, but not on the television. But none of this, if these were impeachment hearings, they'd be carried wall-to-wall coverage by all the cable channels and all the regular channels, too. I'd have to do without my General Hospital for a while, but I'll get over it. But no, instead it got no coverage. And then because the helicopter crash landed on a skyscraper in Manhattan, there was no coverage of it yesterday afternoon while the thing was going on. So for all the good it did no good at all. But here's a little bit of John Dean in case you're wondering what he said.
The last time I appeared before your committee was July 11, 1974, during the impeachment inquiry of Richard Nixon. Clearly, I'm not here today as a fact witness. I accepted the invitation to come here today because I hope I can give a little historical perspective on the Mueller report.
Okay.
In many ways, the Mueller report is to President Trump what the so-called Watergate roadmap, officially titled the Grand Jury Report and Recommendation Concerning Transmission of Evidence to the House of Representatives, was to President Richard Nixon. Stated a little differently, Special Counsel Mueller has provided this committee with a roadmap.
So, you know, Dean was good. And if he had been with an actual facts witness, it would have been better. No problem in providing historical perspective because so many Americans have no clue what happened with Nixon and Watergate. So I'm not saying Dean shouldn't have testified. I'm just saying that he was the star witness was kind of absurd. So again, none of the cable news channel carried it. DirecTV only carries C-SPAN 1 and 2. Here too, Diane Russell. They don't carry C-SPAN 3. So Republicans on the committee, instead of taking the hearing seriously, they opted to smear the witnesses and try to make a mockery out of the hearing instead of asking any serious questions. For example, here's a Florida man. Yeah, the embarrassment of a congressman, Matt Gaetz, trying to get the best of John Dean and failing miserably. Uh-oh. Again, something keeps hitting here. Okay, here we go.
You're here to provide historical context.
Exactly.
And throughout history, you accuse presidents of acting like Richard Nixon, and you make money off of it, right?
Not all presidents, no.
No, but a few more
than
one.
Those who do act like him, I pointed out.
Let me ask you this question. How do Democrats plan to pay for Medicare for all?
What?
I'm sorry?
I figured if we were going to ask you about stuff you don't know about, we'd start with the big stuff. So do you know how they plan to pay for Medicare for all?
Who? The Democrats or which candidate or can you be more specific?
Let's get specific to Nixon since that appears to be why you're here. Do you believe?
Well, actually, Nixon did have a health care plan.
Touche.
Good. Well,
touché.
Do you believe if we turned the lights off here and maybe lit some candles, got out a Ouija board, we could potentially raise the specter of Richard Nixon?
Oh, God.
I doubt that.
Okay, we have a little song for Matt Gaetz, too. We already played Lily Allen's Fuck You for Nancy Pelosi. So, Matt Gaetz, this one's for you, asshole.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
Asshole. His name is
Matt Gaetz. Oh my
and
God.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole. Oh yeah.
All right. So that's Matt Gaetz. That's his theme song. Okay, so when asked for his response to John Dean's testimony, Donald Trump drew on his massive vocabulary and his best words to proclaim John Dean, the former White House counsel, loser.
John Dean's been a loser for many years, so I've been watching him on one of the networks that is not exactly Trump-oriented, and I guess they paid him a lot of money over the years. Now, John's been a loser for a long time.
Oh, God. Fuck you. God, what a... You know, I'm sorry. This is the president of the United States, and the best he can do is call people a loser? He's a mental midget. He's a moron. He's a walking... Just idiot. He's a dotard. The one thing Kim Jong-un got right is he's a dotard, a word that I didn't know before, and thanks to a North Korean dictator, I do. So in addition to John Dean, there were three other witnesses. One, I think, was like from the American Heritage Enterprise or whatever they're called. You know, they had to have a right winger on. And then they had two of the 1,000 plus former federal prosecutors who signed that letter saying that Donald Trump would face criminal obstruction charges if he were not president. The thing is, the two these two prosecutors they had on were great. But they both happened to be MSNBC contributors, Barbara McQuaid and Joyce White Vance. And they're both wonderful, but they left themselves open to being made fun of by the Republicans. Really, the best you could do are these TV, you know, lawyers, because John Dean is a paid contributor to CNN. Joyce Vance and Barbara McQuaid are paid contributors to MSNBC. Doesn't make them non-credible, but it makes it easier for the Republicans to paint them as, you know, like, what kind of a bullshit hearing is this? Anyway, here's a little bit of what Joyce Vance said, because she was very good.
I've reviewed volume 2 of the special counsel's report, which lays out the evidence collected while investigating 10 potential instances of obstruction of justice. And based on my years of experience as a prosecutor, if I was assessing that evidence as to a person other than a sitting president who's covered by the OLC memo, the facts contained in that report would be sufficient to prove all of the elements necessary to charge multiple counts of obstruction of justice. The evidence is not equivocal, nor is the charging decision a close call. And I would be willing to personally indict the case and to try the case. I would have confidence that the evidence would be sufficient to obtain a guilty verdict and to win on appeal.
Awesome. She's great. And please do it. You know, I remember before he died, what was his name? Vincent Bugliosi, the great prosecutor who prosecuted Charles Manson. He wrote a book back when we were talking about impeaching George W. Bush for lying us into a war. Vincent Bugliosi wrote a book, The Impeachment of George W. Bush for Murder. And he laid out the entire case for any prosecutor around the country who wanted to take that mantle and take it and prosecute it. He laid out the entire case. Nobody did. So if Joyce White Vance wants to do this, wants to do the indictment and prosecute, let her do it. And Nancy Pelosi needs to go home. Meanwhile, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler said he struck a deal with the Justice Department and William Barr, the Attorney General, to allow lawmakers to view underlying documents from Mueller's investigation. But the way it works, not everybody in the House gets to see it, which is what they wanted. Right. And they can't take it. They have to go over to the Justice Department to read it. They can't take it out of there. But the Judiciary Committee and their staffers are able to go. So I guess they got a little bit of a give there. I'm sorry. That's not a victory. And because of that, we'll head off now a vote in the House on holding Barr in criminal contempt of Congress. They're still apparently today going to vote on a civil contempt charge. But the criminal contempt charge against Barr is now off the table. The Democrats need to do a much, much better job of getting to the bottom of this, of running hearings and getting real witnesses to testify. If not, we are in for such a drubbing. Even though new Quinnipiac polls out today show basically Trump losing to all of the top tier candidates, and now there are like five or six of them in there. There's more news, but you know what? I don't want to wait any longer. I want to get Gotta Laugh on the line because there's so much to talk about, and I've got tons of stuff today, boy. Let's get Laffy on the line.
And now it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yeah, so every Tuesday we get together with our friend Gotta Laugh, and we shoot the shit about the news. So first we have to get her on the line. I was a little late in doing that today, so I think she's there. Hello.
Well, yes, you've reached the Democratic candidate's caught on camera hotline.
Ooh, okay.
Press 1 if you think Buttigieg got caught working out at a gymboree. Okay. Press 2 if you think Bernie got caught ironing his clothes.
Okay.
Press 3 if you think Biden got caught smelling his own hair plugs.
God.
Have a nice day. Yeah. Oh, my God. I only saw a tiny, tiny bit of this Biden speech today.
Yeah.
I was out walking Hammy and came back and I saw him on my TV and I missed pretty much all of it. I just heard kind of a droning.
Yeah.
And by the time I started to listen, honestly, he was so boring. I just
tuned
out.
I had it on for a little while. Didn't hear anything that I thought, oh, I have to pull that clip. He said nothing that jumped out at me. Just nothing. I have tons of audio from today. Nothing from him.
Yeah. From what I could tell, there was nothing.
Yeah. There was no there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nothing.
And from the looks of my Twitter feed, everybody was like, oh, just shut up.
Yeah. You know,
just everybody was just giving him the thumbs down, which surprised me because I usually, I really follow or you know, have access on my Twitter feed to a lot of different kinds of Democrats and, of course, Republicans. And usually you'll hear just sort of a general, okay, Joe, that was okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe. This was like thumbs down from everybody.
Yeah. Well, he's pandering. This is what he does. And ever since his flipping last week on the Hyde Amendment, look, I vehemently disagreed with his position. But
right.
But his flipping a day after he had a spokesperson go on television to talk about, well, he's a deeply religious man and he's believed in this all along and he's just consistent. And the next day he flips.
It was the next hour. I mean, it was the hour. It was just before he got on. It wasn't even in the teleprompter.
He put it into his notes. Exactly. He was reading it off a piece of paper because it wasn't on the teleprompter with the rest of the speech. It just is so panderous. Is that a word? I don't know.
But panderoony?
Yes. Here's the other thing. The only thing I have in my What's News notes, because I could go on for the whole show just doing story after story. But here's the story. Biden, quote, GOP knows better after Trump. And the story reads, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden told a room of donors and lobbyists, because that's what he did the other night. He had a big dollar fundraiser, that Republicans, quote, know better, and suggested the Republicans in Congress would be open to cooperation with him as president after Donald Trump leaves office.
Wrong.
You know, delusional. So he's as delusional as Trump.
Yeah. It was like Obama always thinking that he could reach out and compromise and make an effort. And look, I'm including you guys. And look at me asking you to lunch. And he kept trying to play the nice guy and the reasonable guy, but they stomped all over him. And you'd think that Biden, having been vice president at the time, would have recognized that and figured out, that just doesn't work.
No, but did you see what Biden did over the weekend? I guess it was National Best Friends Day this weekend. And he actually tweeted out, and I don't have it in front of me, I wish I did, but he tweeted out, "Happy Best Friends Day to my BFF Barack," and then he had a picture. I'm gonna find it. He had a picture of like two bracelets. You know the old bracelets you got when you were a little kid with your name on them,
and yes.
Joe and Barack bracelets.
Why? Why did he do that? That's terrible.
I mean, you think? Because he thinks, oh my God, I'm Barack Obama's BFF. That'll get me the votes. Joe, just because you're friends, you're not him. Just saying, you're not him.
No, that's like an SNL parody.
All right, now I'm going to find this
I got to show it to you. That's terrible.
I got to find this.
You have a picture, but it always takes me several seconds to be able to see it.
I know, but I'm going to find it. Well, yeah. So anyway. Yeah. What's Joe Biden's Twitter handle? You would think it would be Joe Biden, right? There it is. It is.
I've been watching
it's at Joe Biden. Yeah, I don't follow him. It's so funny. It's when people talk about all the fundraising emails he gets. I don't. The only candidate mailing list that I'm on are Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The rest of them, I get on them and then I unsubscribe.
And for some reason, Kamala Harris, probably from being in California and having something to do with a past correspondence.
Here it is. I found it. It says, "Happy Best Friends Day, # to my friend at Barack Obama." And then there's, I'm going to put it up on the screen so everybody could see the screenshot of it, just because it's just so damn funny. I want to make sure I don't lose the audio when I do this. All right, so I'm going to put it up on YouTube. It'll take a couple of seconds. And then there's those bracelets. One says Joe and the other says Barack. It is, I mean, seriously?
Oh, I'm waiting to see it, but I'm picturing it. Yeah, I remember those bracelets so well.
Yeah, they're little girly bracelets.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so sad.
Isn't that sad? Pitiful. It is. Yeah. That's the best description for it. It's just really sad.
Daddy, did you see what Joe Biden did? He put a picture of friendship bracelets on with Barack Obama.
The only thing like that would be more embarrassing than this tweet is if he actually, to celebrate Best Friends Day, wore those bracelets.
Yes. I'm so sorry for him. That's so sad. Okay, let's move on from Joe because it's not worth our time.
Okay, you know what? Before we move on, I do want to take a moment to be a little self-indulgent here, because you and I have talked off the air about, you know, dealing with life in America in the Trump era, and it's taken its toll. Look, I've been brutally honest with the listeners about my breakdown. There's no other way I can put it. I had a massive breakdown that went on for over a year. I'm feeling a little better now, but I still have my moments when I just completely break down, and I can't believe what we're living in. I can't believe what we've come to. I can't believe how far we've devolved. And it's really disturbing. So I have more anger and fire in me than just sadness and depression, which is what I had for the better part, more than a year. Anyway, so you know, but to those who don't know, this show I've been doing now online, it'll be 10 years in January that Air America Radio went off the air.
God.
And on that night, it was January 21st, 2010, and I was on live at 11 p.m. And so I usually wound up taping some interviews during the day to use on the show that night because, you know, it was hard to get people to come on at 11 or midnight live. And so I'd set up to record an interview with, at the time, Congressman Alan Grayson. And I heard from a listener that Air America had gone under and all that. So that night I moved online and have been doing it online ever since. So coming up on 10 years, my show is 100% listener supported. I do not charge for the podcast. It's free and it's open for everyone because I know a lot of people are hurting the same way I've been hurting since the 2008 meltdown of the economy. So anyway, this is a long way of telling you, I don't beg for money. I don't do it regularly. I should, but I don't. But just know we are listener supported. You can go to NicoleSandler.com/donate. Lots of ways to help us out. But I want to share with you a note I got from listener Carla in Maryland. And Carla is wonderful. Carla has, she sends me a check every couple of months, it seems, with a lovely note and Laffy, because we had this conversation about the toll it's taking on our lives, on our mental health, on our health overall. I wanted to share with you what Carla wrote, because we're not alone. So here's what she wrote. Dear Nicole, once again, it's time for me to thank you for remaining on the internet. This past decade and a half, I've listened to you on Air America, some station in Florida, which is amazing. I guess she listened online when I was at WINZ in Miami, and then on the internet. I've connected with you on the absurdity and lack of morals and ethics happening in our country throughout the time. Of course, it's only gotten worse with Trump in the White House. I thank goodness you give voice to the many thoughts going on in my head. There are times I am in a quandary as to how this country and myself will move forward. And then I tune into your show and find myself laughing, and more importantly, my thoughts are being validated. Thank you for helping me find a place of connection and feel a part of a civil society and community. Who knows where we go from here? I'll stay tuned. Carla, thank you, because as you know, there are days that I don't know that I can keep doing this. But when I hear from listeners with messages like this, and I do get them fairly often, I know that we're in this together. And it's, you know what, even if you guys didn't contribute any money, I would probably still keep doing it as a way of release and to get, all this pent up anger and frustration out and to commiserate with like-minded people. But it's important that we do that. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you and thank you, Carla. And thank you, Sue, for another donation and everybody who chips in to keep this show going. Just know you're paying my salary. So, thank you. Anyway, so Laffy, I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but let's, because,
it's okay.
We've had a conversation off the air. We've talked about what do we do? Where do we go? Can we get the fuck out of here? And we've talked on the air here about going to Canada, and the immigration laws are tough. An American can't just go to Canada and say, I want to live here now. And in fact, you and your husband, Mr. Laffy, have done research and you've even taken a step further. So tell us what's going on.
Okay. By the way, I love you, Carla, if you're listening.
Yes, so do I.
Love you a lot. So this whole Trump thing has just been increasingly crescendoing in my mind. And I'm generally a really upbeat person. And I goof around all the time. And I'm finding myself without a sense of humor lately. Mm. And by lately, I mean the last 2 years, but increasingly. And I force myself to get out of that and to goof around again and to be fun. But it's hard. And it's weighing and weighing and weighing. And the more Trump has been in office, the more laws and norms and everything else you ever heard on, ever hear on TV are destroyed. Mm-hmm. Our rights are going down the tubes. I've got gay twins. I don't want, I'm scared for them now. I'm scared for them because bigots have been emboldened. And I don't feel comfortable for them anymore where I used to. I thought, oh, we live in LA, you know, this is a very liberal area, blah, blah, blah. But I'm feeling less comfortable with that now. I don't feel safe. I'm just like you, a non-practicing Jewish atheist,
yep.
sort of a cultural Jew who doesn't believe in much. And I'm feeling, even if I say I'm Jewish out loud, that now that's going to be a problem here because of the...
Yep, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because of increasing Nazism that's out on the streets. And so I couldn't take it. I don't even remember how it started, but I was just overwhelmed thinking about all of this, mm-hmm. watching the country disintegrate, watching our rights go away, our voting rights. He's not even... One of my tweets today, if we ever get to those, is about how Mitch McConnell won't even take up protecting the vote. He won't even take it up.
Will not take it. And you know, to all the people who say, and this was Bernie Sanders' line for a while, and it really upset me as a Sanders supporter. You know, basically saying they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, what if all they're doing is this? The House has passed over 100 bills.
450
that are sitting there in the Senate because Mitch McConnell says this is the graveyard. He will not bring any of these bills that the House passed up for a vote. So what's the point?
Exactly. Everything is just shot to hell. It will take decades to undo the damage. It's not going to go away if we won all three branches of government. It would not go away. If suddenly the Supreme Court became the perfect Supreme Court, and if we had the House and the Senate and the White House, it would take a long time to undo what's been going on. And so I just felt pretty futile, and I started entertaining the thought of moving to Canada, and that evolved. I'm really shortening this down, and now we have put on retainer a Canadian immigration lawyer.
Wow.
And I can tell you a lot about how it works. But yes, it's really hard to get in. It's expensive to get in if you hire a lawyer. We're lucky we can do that. Without a lawyer, we wouldn't get in. I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 2 years. The process takes 2 years
wow.
in our situation.
Wow.
Now, to get my kids over, they're adults, young adults, and so it would take them 8 months to a year to get their application accepted. And they probably would get accepted because Canada wants you to invest in Canada. Canada wants
right.
you to work there
mm-hmm.
or pay them.
But they don't want you, they don't want you to come in and take a job that a Canadian would get. You
right,
have to have unique skills or be able to be self-employed or work in the arts or do something that's not going to take a
arts.
Job away from a Canadian citizen. You can't
right.
just I'm going to come to Canada and find a job.
No. It's both hard and in that way a little easier than I thought. Mr. Laffey, produces and writes Naked and Afraid.
Yes.
It turns out his parent company... It's a huge company that doesn't even know that he's alive, but they are located in Canada, we found out. So that might help a little bit. But what they asked him to do is to look for work, contact a production house in Canada,
uh-huh.
say, I'm looking for work. Now document that I said that. Now document that you're interested in possibly hearing from me. Can I pitch to you?
Wow.
Yes, I can. Put that on paper. That's all I need.
Wow.
He doesn't have to prove that he got a job, but he does have to show that he's trying to. And they have to show, whoever he writes to or contacts has to show him, why, yes, we would love to hear a pitch from you.
Uh-huh.
That's what it takes.
Wow.
In our particular situation.
I would think in mine, since I'm sort of self-contained and do my own show and it goes on the internet, that I could probably go too, because I'm not taking a job out of their economy, but I couldn't afford the move.
Right. And you'd have to also, I believe, show that you can make some income doing that.
Yeah. Right.
So, and you have to show.
Yeah. They want their tax revenue. They don't want someone
yeah.
who's going to be on the dole. They want someone who can support themselves.
Right. They also require that you take an English test, which is just to show that you're not, that you're well versed in the native language, and
uh-huh.
that if you speak a different language, you can still get along there. So that's not a big deal at all.
Right.
And then you have to pay them. If it was just the Canadian government, forget the lawyer. It's about $3,000 a person.
Wow.
Give or take. I mean, it depends on who you are, like as the spouse, I think it's 1500 for me because I'm piggybacking onto Mr. Laffey. The boys would have to pay independently. They are not allowed to piggyback onto our application. So they would have to pay whatever it costs for them to do this.
Oh my God.
And then housing there. I mean, we want to move to the Vancouver area.
Which is not inexpensive.
Right. And even the suburbs are pretty expensive. So we'd, of course, sell our house and we'd have some way to afford a house. It may not be what we're used to, but you know, so it's not an easy thing to do. And let's now talk about the emotional toll.
Yes.
I'm talking about it like, you know, look what I'm doing. It's going to take 2 years. And if we're lucky, we'll get accepted. But meantime, I'm sitting here telling everybody I'm thinking about leaving the country I've lived in forever. I would never have thought I 3 years ago.
Right. Who? Because you don't think in those terms. And now, and I'm only guessing, but if Trump gets booted out of office and leaves and we don't have the civil war to get him out of office, you guys would not move.
No, that's not necessarily true.
Well, if Biden gets in.
No, if we win, like I said, it's going to take decades to undo the damage.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I don't want to feel unsafe in this country. I feel right now, and yes, Hamilton the doggy will be able to go with us. He doesn't need to be quarantined if you have proof of his inoculation. So that's not a problem.
Okay.
You can also travel with your dog up there as long as you show the same kind of thing.
Right.
The only time they make a fuss about it is if you're going to breed your dog or do something commercial with an animal, and then the animal doesn't live with you.
Oh, yeah. So. Right. Well, that makes sense.
That's not a problem.
All right. So if you go, I can just come and overstay my visa, right?
Yeah. No, you could stay in Canada for 6 months at a time.
Okay.
You might even be able to get an extension of some kind as a visitor. But then, you know, they'd kick you out eventually.
Yeah.
So,
well,
and what we're trying to do is get permanent residency and we'll worry about citizenship at another time. It would mean I couldn't vote.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Right. So, you can still vote here. Okay. So this, you know, this is what it takes, though, if you are to, you know, even consider leaving, it's not so easy to go somewhere else. We're kind of stuck here and we're seeing this country just descend into fascism. We are under Donald Trump. We are becoming a fascist nation. It is. Do you know today in his little press gaggle thing out on the lawn, he again bragged about a wonderful, loving letter he just got from Kim Jong-un?
Yeah.
He said he got another one. He says a beautiful letter. He said he was happy to receive a beautiful letter from him. It was a very personal, very warm, very nice letter. And then he said, you know, things that are going just fine with his plans to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. It's just bullshit. Everything is broken.
It's the opposite. Ugh. It's, of course, opposite world. It's the opposite. You know what? Here's another thing. Just to go back to the Canadian thing.
Uh-huh.
One of my, as many of the listeners know, my son, one of my twins has Crohn's.
Yes.
He just had major surgery, and he's doing great. It's taking some time. It'll take a couple of months for full recovery, but he's doing great. And anyway, one of the problems we're having is his health care. My health care is fine. Writers Guild takes care of us beautifully.
Right.
But my son is well over 26. And so he's on his own. And the way things are going, if you know, one more thing goes wrong where he has to get more surgery, or as it is, he's always taking meds, or there's always doctor visits. It's endless. Well, the Canadian healthcare system is much easier about that, to say the least.
Sure.
So that was another consideration, but it's not the consideration. It was just, as we thought about it, we went, oh, there's a bonus, you know.
Yeah.
But so that's something. Do you want to go to some tweets? Because I just realized I have all these tweets.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. I just wanted to, you know, to talk about those things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm glad we did.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, let loose the birdies.
Tweet, tweet.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. So what are the Twitters buzzing about these days?
Oh, God. Well, You already did my spiel on MSNBC not covering, none of them, CNN did neither, not covering the hearings, which, you know, because the helicopter crash happened, but even after they got all the news out about it, they kept,
They didn't mention it. They didn't carry any of it. And I can't say that I blame them, because it was, you know, or it was John Dean who
can
see.
But here's the thing. I do blame them, because if I just read a tweet from one of the news outlets. It was one of the more of a blog than a news outlet. Uh-huh. It wasn't like NBC or something.
Right.
And he said hearings were a dud. And I said, well, no, they weren't a dud. But they were a dud because none of the networks carried it. Had they carried it and done endless commentary on it, it wouldn't have been a dud.
Exactly, because the purpose of these hearings are to educate the American people.
Exactly.
But if the TV stations aren't going to carry them, the American public will not be educated because they won't fucking read. So
that's exactly
why they need to call them impeachment hearings, because if they're impeachment hearings, they'll be carried by everyone. And these little educational hearings about the Mueller report, they aren't going to care. Also, if they're impeachment hearings, they can't say, I'm not going to comply with the subpoena. They will be forced to.
Thank you. That is exactly it. And so I got so pissed off because the nighttime and later afternoon coverage, my time Pacific, did cover the hearings extensively, and they hit all the high points, and that was great. But during the day, I guess, you know, okay, the audience isn't big during the day, so I guess that's something. But had they even made the effort, it would have gotten a lot more. It wouldn't have been a dud.
Right. It would have been better than the shit they had on. The same, you know, 10 people, guests, their analysts. Ooh, Zerlina Maxwell is back on. What does she have to say that's new and interesting? Nothing. You know, give us, to cover what's going on in Congress.
Right.
It's just, this is their job as the Fourth Estate. They're to
meanwhile,
cover what's going
ahead.
On. I'm sorry. You go. I
so meanwhile, I put a tweet out because I was watching MSNBC before that. I think this was the day before, actually. And they show Steve Bannon.
Oy.
Steve Bannon's on my TV.
Oh,
and I said, what
God.
The heck? I said, I don't need to see Steve Bannon on my TV. And then they called him a populist. No, he's a white supremacist.
Oh,
he's not
God.
A populist.
Oh, my God.
And so I tweeted about that, too, mm-hmm. because you know what? That is just so wrong, and it's malpractice.
Yep.
I was furious.
Uh-huh.
As for yesterday's hearing, my tweet wasn't so painfully amusing. I live tweeted the whole thing. There was a million good tweets, but my take was, it's so painfully amusing to watch Republicans asking what they think are gotcha questions, only to be gotcha'd by Barb McQuaid and Joyce Vance and John Dean.
Yep.
Jim Jordan's doing that right now, but he'll only question that guy Malcolm for obvious reasons. He was that Heritage guy.
Oh, the Heritage Foundation guy. It was the Heritage Foundation, not the American Enterprise Institute. I couldn't remember. I knew it was one of those right-wing think tank kind of places.
But the point is, they kept going, well, John Dean, you know, well, Barb McQuaid, what about this? You know, and she'd turn around and go, well, actually, you're completely wrong about that. And here's the, you know, facts. Uh-huh. And here's what the Mueller report. Uh-huh. One time she started reading the Mueller report to them and they cut her off. They said, no, sorry. Okay, I'm reclaiming my time.
Oh, my God. Well, did you hear about this? Let me see if I can't find. Oh, here it is. Okay, so the House Judiciary Committee today is holding a hearing on presidential obstructions and other crimes. The Republicans wrote a list of words and phrases they have demanded that the Democrats don't use. Here's the list. There are posters that they had in the hearing room. Abuse of executive privilege, abuse of office, abuse of power, alleged criminal conduct beneath the dignity of the office, crook, con man, corruption demagogue, draft dodger, fundraising abuses, misogynist, obstruction of justice, un-American, unethical behavior, racist, and sexual predator. Those are the words that the Republicans have demanded the Democrats not use in that hearing. Wonder why.
Well, yeah, can't imagine. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And what's that about freedom of speech? I'm sorry. One of the things that Barb McQuaid did say, this is something else I tweeted. She said this to Representative Raskin. This body has the ability to hold him accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's everything right there, period. That's the whole hearing. Hello. Hello, House of Representatives. Dear Nancy Pelosi. Dear, Jerry Nadler.
Mm-hmm.
Your body has the ability to hold him accountable. Stop pussyfooting around and writing letters. Hold the people who are refusing to acknowledge subpoenas. Start fining them hundreds of thousands of dollars. Start going to court.
Yep.
Do something.
Do something that has legs, that has guts, that, you know, do more of these. I'm sorry. Yes, it was interesting, but it didn't help move the issue forward.
Right.
It didn't help get Donald Trump out of office. It didn't do anything constructive. If they couldn't get Mueller and they couldn't get Don McGahn and they couldn't get a fact witness, they should have waited until they could, or better yet, use inherent contempt and start fining these people or arresting them, make them follow the law.
Exactly. The only place I disagree is I do think they should have held this as a placeholder hearing because it does get some press and it takes the news off of Trump's blather.
Right.
But it
shows them as being feckless. It shows them as being unable to accomplish anything of import. I mean, they can't get the man who headed up the investigation to testify. This should be a no-brainer. I'm sorry.
That was his job. Why in the world are they making deals with the Department of Justice?
I don't know.
To go over and get permission to look at the unredacted stuff. They shouldn't be making deals.
I know.
There is no deal here. They're entitled to look.
I hear you.
They're entitled to have it.
Yes.
Not just look at it.
Exactly.
As LOLGOP tweeted, we need to be as ruthless about saving democracy as they are about destroying it.
Uh-huh.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Here's something today. Good news, everyone. Global emissions. This is from Bloomberg. Global emissions rose the most in 7 years, BP review shows. They do a review that's a big deal. China, India, and the United States are responsible for 2/3 of the consumption increase.
I believe it.
Yeah. Yep. So that's good. Breathe deeply.
Daddy, listen how big I'm coughing.
By the way, there's a new Quinnipiac poll out today.
And
basically any of the top tier candidates crush what's his name? Trump.
All of them.
All
plus 11, plus 13, plus 6, plus 7, plus 5, whatever.
Sanders plus 13 over Trump. Sanders plus 9. Harris plus 8. Warren plus 7. Buttigieg plus 5. Booker plus 5.
Hello.
Those are head-to-heads with Trump. So this, Biden's electable bullshit is bullshit.
Speaking of the candidates, NBC has announced that the 5 moderators for the first Democratic debate will be Savannah Guthrie,
Lester Holt,
Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow, and Jose Diaz-Balart.
Jose, my husband has a perverse sense of humor, and so he enjoys watching Jose do the Saturday night NBC nightly news because Jose Hispanicizes every name. So, there's now I'm drawing a blank on the reporter's names. I wish I knew their names. There's a Mariana Atencio, who calls herself Mariana Atencio. He's Mariana Atencio. And it's just hysterical. I mean, every time he does it. And there are people with, Hispanic surnames that are pronounced just, anglicized sort of, and he Hispanicizes them up. It's Dr. Torres.
Yeah, I know, especially when somebody's speaking without a Spanish accent
only,
or a Mexican
only Hispanic
accent,
names.
And then
right.
suddenly they sort of go right into it with somebody's name. It always sounds so like, what? You said what? Anyway,
he does it every time. David is easily amused, but it's every time. Any kind of Hispanic name, even if the person doesn't pronounce it that way, which
just
I find
to
hysterical.
End, I hear music, so yes. Just to end, the Tweet of God account on Twitter
got suspended.
Temporarily. The tweet was, if gay people are a mistake, they're a mistake I've made hundreds of millions of times, which proves I'm incompetent and shouldn't be relied on for anything. And then he says, what the fuck, Twitter? Seriously, what the fuck? What the fuck is this? This is God, the tweet of God saying that.
Yeah.
Which is hysterical. But then I saw the tweet was back up. So
oh, good.
I guess they
well,
took
so
him.
They took him down. They also suspended Dave yep. Nyworth. Now, I'm not a big Dave Nyworth fan. I used to be, but he's gotten over the edge as sort of a conservadem. He's, you know, one of the hill bots that, and I don't yeah. use those names, but he's really turned into that. But still, he was banned. He was taken off Twitter because he used the cover image from his book, which is about the alt-right. And for that, he was suspended from Twitter. Twitter is, wow, you know, they're overstepping these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. No, and Terry Altman, he won't Hispanicize my name. He only does it with Hispanic names. So,
right.
Yeah. So, and I can't think of one of their reporters now who I'm thinking of, but I'll tell you tomorrow, I'm sure. Anyway, with that.
Adios. Adios,
adios amigo. Laffy. No, see, it doesn't work because it's not a Hispanic name. All right. With that, thank you, Gotta Laugh. Find Laffy on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, and of course, here every Tuesday.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, we'll be joined by the one and only Tom Hartman, who's got a new book out. And we'll see whatever else the day brings us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here and for your support of the program. I literally couldn't do it without you. Have a great day, everyone. See you tomorrow. Bye.